quicker. Romans chapter 1 just took a while getting started. We good? Great. First, just read a couple of verses out of Romans chapter 1. And then we get into Romans 2 today. Romans 1, 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. The purpose of the book of Romans. Verses 15 and 16. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the subject of the book of Romans. Okay? So we have a theme, we have a subject. So we've spent many weeks covering chapter 1. Today, chapter 2. Let's just start in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 16. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Okay? So a whole lot in this. And we went through chapter 1, and that was more man's witness. And let's just call it human evil. Now in chapter 2, we're getting to human good. Right? The holier-than-thou crowd, all right? But the whole subject of chapter 2 is God's wrath now, okay? But we dealt, in chapter 1, again, it was human evil. So at the end of the day, either a man is lost or they're saved. Or at the end of their life, they're either lost or they're saved, right? And of course, how is a man saved today in the dispensation of the grace of God? It's by the gospel of Christ. Paul even says in Romans 2:16 there, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Romans 1:15 and 16 there again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried and raised again for our justification, the gospel of our salvation. Okay? Now, the wrath of God. And remember, so man's either lost or he's saved. And we could even break this lost group pretty much into two groups. I'll just call this one human evil. You know, we've got, let's just call them the drunkards, the murderers, the rapists of the world. Things that we humans all call those really bad sins. Human evil. All right, those are just living, and they almost would tell you they're living a lost life. But there is another lost group here called human good. Sunday mornings, we really see those people come out big time. I may do this and that, but I would never do the things those people do. I go to church every Sunday. I've never murdered anybody. I've never cheated on my wife. I try to treat my neighbor right. Okay? Excuse me. Here, human good. Okay? Looking down their nose at these people as if they're better. You could even look at, in the Bible, even look at the religious sect there, the Jews, the Pharisees, call them the fundamentalists, those that follow the law to the T. The Pharisees versus the Sadducees, they were the more liberal group. They did not believe in the resurrection is really the main difference between the two, so call them the more liberal group of the religious sect. Right? But anyway, the human, and that's what we're going to talk about here in chapter 2, is this group right here. The people who think they pretty much can be good enough to be right with God, to earn their way into heaven. Alright? So chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, like this group right here, who judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. And what is Christianity known for?
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy is exactly the word. To this world especially. Why would I want to be like those hypocrites over there? The guy that's always got to tell me that I need to be going to church with him every Sunday, but yet I saw him doing such and such. Right? Therefore, hypocrites and hypocrisy. Okay? That just even will talk, especially when you're talking about God, and they'll talk that way when they pronounce his name. You know, God Almighty, as if you say it some way in reverence. Kim and I made several trips back to Denver, and we actually stayed with a person there. And it was just, you just wanted to go to the bathroom and stick your finger down your throat. It was so sickening listening to self-righteousness. And then you try talking the Bible, and, you get nowhere. It's unreal, but gotta have right there at the front door. They believe in church homes. Their homes in church in homes. They had a study there in their home, and she even let me teach one Sunday. Didn't necessarily like what I taught, but when you walk in the front door, right there is right there is a table, and they keep those big round gold things for the Lord's Supper. One thing for the wafers, one thing for the cups, and they keep it right there so everybody can see it when you walk in the door. And make sure you see our righteousness, our self-righteousness. And it's just, like I say, it's just unreal. And they've got a different voice, a prayer voice, and a church voice even. You all know what I'm talking about. We've all been around people trying to act self-righteous, right? And that's exactly what we're talking about here in chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. All right? Thou that judgest another do is the same. We all do the same things. Maybe not exactly. Maybe we didn't literally commit murder. But come on, we all know certain things about our own lives, right? And for that matter, sin, does God differentiate sin? You know, Catholics even use a couple of terms right there. There's, what are those again?
Venial
sins and mortal sins. You know, bad sins and really bad sins. Or just minor sins and the really bad sins. Okay, there are no categories in the eyes of God Almighty, as we read in Galatians, as you can read in James. Okay, this isn't just this dispensation. No, out here in this dispensation, same thing. Sin is sin. You break one part, you're guilty of how many?
All.
And all means all. It always has. It always will. Okay? Verse 2, but we are sure. Why do you want to even, at least mentally, underline that word sure? But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Okay? You know, what are you thinking here? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Okay, so we'll talk about several things in here as well. But just this whole holier-than-thou thing, especially on Sundays, you just... Anyway, so that's really what chapter 2 is going to be about here. Human good is just as, you know, this human good is just as unacceptable to God Almighty as human evil, okay? And we're going to look at a couple examples even far back here in the Bible. How many have sinned, according to Romans 3:23? All have sinned, and therefore come short of the glory of God, right? Excuse me, Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? There's never has been a person, there never will be a person, human person, only the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, ever lived a sinless life. Okay? You know, we're talking about the judgment of God here and the wrath of God. Verse 32 from chapter 1, the last verse there. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we were talking about human evil there. Now, chapter 2, therefore, knowing the judgment of God from verse 32, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever... Thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God, so verse 32, the judgment of God, verse 2, the judgment of God. We are sure that the judgment of God is... So we're going to look at seven things about the judgment of God here. First of all, it's according to truth, as in verse 2 here. The judgment of God is according to truth. Okay, it's according to truth against them which commit such things. Truth, truth of the gospel. That is the only way that we can be saved today. Remember in Galatians when we studied it, it even talked about, who obey not the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. And if we're obeying not the truth of the gospel, that's to think that there's something that we could actually do. All right? Let's flip over there. Remember when we were studying that? Galatians chapter 4. And the offense of the cross. Chapter 5. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. The offense of the cross. You can't do a thing. Christ did it all. Okay? Same thing, you know, the truth of the gospel here. So back to Romans chapter 2. So it's according to truth. It's also according to accumulated guilt, all the things we continue to do, as in here, you know, we're judging others, but, you know, we're doing these same things. In verses 3, we do such, that judges them, which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. All right? It also, as we read down through here in verse 6, it's according to our works, who will render to every man according to his deeds, the judgment of God. For lost people, okay, according to their works, okay, according to their deeds, here in verse 6, okay? As we come down, it's without respect of persons, verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. Okay, so the judgment of God doesn't matter. Jew, Greek, Gentile, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice verses 13 through 15 are in parentheses. A couple of things. In parentheses, it's always to stand out, to show you something, to clarify something. The other is, in some ways, you could leave the parentheses out. It's always good when you're studying your Bible, read to the parentheses, and then skip the whole parentheses and pick up right away after the parentheses. Another is focus in the parentheses. What? Why is he? What is it he's wanting to clarify? Figure out why. First, let's look at what's in the parentheses. So 13, 14, and 15. First, let's just read it through. Okay? For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. End of parentheses. Wow. Okay, so those people, lost people back here, people that have not been saved by the gospel of Christ, you know, we talked a little bit last week. Everybody's always concerned about those tribes over there in the deep, dark jungles of Africa. You know, how's God going to judge them? Right there in those parentheses. They have a conscience. We all have a conscience. They'll be judged according to their conscience. Right? They understand right from wrong. They understand good from evil. The only people today in the year 2014 that are lost, that go to hell, it's not because of any sin they committed. It's because they rejected the love of the truth that they might be saved. They rejected the gospel of Christ. You have to hear it to reject it. Okay, so if you never heard it, then it's these parentheses. Okay, if you never heard the gospel of Christ, could you get saved? No. Would you therefore go to hell? Okay? If you never heard it, you're going to be judged differently by God Almighty. And they're judged by their conscience. And that's what this is about here. Okay? In verses 13 to 15, they could not have rejected the gospel if they did not hear it. Another interesting part about that, by the way, conscience. Writing it big enough for the camera, and I'm putting a capital S in here. But the word conscience in verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. All right, so their conscience comes into play here. But notice this word conscience, science, against science. You know, kind of amazing. Everybody, you know, evolution and we want to look at all these things. We got to see something, and you know, like the Jews require a sign throughout, right? But I find that interesting. This isn't something scriptural or something that's going to have anything to do with your salvation. But just notice it. People that always want to run to science, conscience against science. Okay. I think I'll just let that go at this point. Just when you're dealing with people that know they're atheists, but they always want to throw science, evolution. I guess that was the purpose of all that. Let's take an atheist, somebody that would even call themselves, don't even recognize God, okay? Conscience against science. How about that? And that's where they always want to run. And how many billions of years is the Earth and all that, okay? We evolved from monkeys and apes. Well, there's some people, you might want to believe that. But I'm really digging holes today. Let's get back to the Word. In the parentheses, so conscience, we all... So these people are judged according to the light that they received, what was written in their hearts, how they handle it. And we talked last week about two-year-olds. You see it right there in their face. They know right from wrong. Obviously, they don't understand the Ten Commandments. They don't understand salvation by grace. But they understand basic right from wrong, even at two, as we were discussing last week. Okay. Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the sins of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Is that what your verse said? No. What did it say? It said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, not the sins of men. God shall judge the secrets. Once again, we're talking about human good. People that think that they're better than others in a religious standpoint look down their nose at others because, well, that person chews, that person dips, that person smokes, that person drinks, that person dances, that person missed a Sunday.
What awful life to live.
I mean, come on. And they think they're better because they don't. You know, I would never, whatever you want to call those others. But that word there, the secrets of men. Come on. The person that fits here in chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. The secrets of men. Do they not? I'm going to tell them myself on this one. I don't even know. Anyway, this just to me is it. And I'm telling on myself when I think I was 4 years old, and I remember shoplifting. Are we going to run out of here? Can't study under a man that shoplifted. I was 4. And I remember we were in line. I was in line with my grandmother. And I saw this piece of candy. And she wouldn't let me have that piece of candy. And being a good 4-year-old, I just slipped it in my pocket.
Typical Steve.
Typical Steve.
I believe it.
And shoplifted. And I knew that was wrong. Stole from that store. Got back to the house. And I remember going underneath this bush. I could go back to that house, being 4 years old, be over 50 years ago. The bush I went under. I mean, underneath that bush. Got behind that bush in the house, unwrapped that piece of candy, and tried to enjoy that piece of candy. And I threw it up. I was so sick at what I had done. I knew that was wrong. I literally threw it up right there underneath that bush. Because I was so rotten with guilt. This is going to be a goofy story, right? But the point, I guess I'm just trying to say, we know, but the secrets of men. Could have gotten away with it. Nobody knew, but I felt so bad about that. Went in and told my grandma, confessed the whole thing.
Really?
Got to feel good about it, right?
I guess I'm a hardened sinner.
Yeah, well,
I cheered that and
I was only 4,
on
George. I was only 4. I just learned. Anyway.
So you never did it again?
Maybe not that secret. Jerry, please, no more questions. I find it interesting how my grandmother handled that, too. We went back to that store manager, and just like David and Nathan and when... Anyway, he had to pay it. When in the story, David said, and make them pay it back fourfold. She made me pay that back fourfold. I had to work for 20 cents because it was a nickel for that thing. And I had to pay 20 cents back to that store owner for that piece of candy that I stole to make it right. But the whole point is the secrets of men. I could have gotten away with that. Nobody would have ever known, but I knew, didn't I? And so I find that interesting here. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Okay, forget that part. I had something that was hitting me and I was going to go there. Okay. The other is in verse 16, so not only the secrets of men, but it's according to Paul's gospel. All right, the last thing about the wrath of God. All right, and of course, when we're talking about judgment for lost people, when is that? Okay. Is there a judgment here? Yeah. Okay, this is called the day of Christ. This is the rapture of the church. So this is a judgment of what? Saved versus lost. You're either saved or you're lost at this judgment. It's a pass go. You know, if saved, go to be with the Lord forever. If lost, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You don't go. All right? You're going to enter into the wrath of God, the tribulation. I'm sorry?
Unless you're already dead.
That's right. Okay? What we're talking about here, the judgment, so the wrath of God, and there's out here at the end of the 1,000 years, is that event called the Great White Throne. Great White Throne judgment. And that's when the lost are judged. Okay? Is out there at the end of the 1,000 years. That's what would be like in Revelation 20. So let's go out there, Revelation 20.
So just on the way out to Revelation 20, the day of Christ, those that remain go into the 7 years. Those that have died go to hell and are lost.
They're already there, actually.
Yeah. And then at the Great White, they come back to be judged again.
Exactly.
Okay, just clearing that up.
Yep. Exactly. So for the tape, those that are alive on earth, okay, if saved, go to be with the Lord forever. If lost, walk into the 7-year tribulation. If you died prior to this, okay, if saved, this is when, you know, if you die prior to that, this event, you go to sleep in the Lord. And you're asleep in the Lord until that event. So when that event happens, if saved, go to be with the Lord forever. As in 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay, if you've died before, if a person has died prior to this, if they're saved, they go to sleep in the Lord. If they're lost, they go directly to hell. Right away at the moment of death. Okay, so when this event happens, they just stay in hell. They're resurrected out here. Or they go, I shouldn't have said resurrected. They are judged. They go to the judgment, the great white throne, at the end of the 1,000-year reign. Okay? Is that clear, Dave? Okay. So, Revelation chapter 20. Okay, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. So this is that great white throne judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. So two books there, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, the book of life and the other book, according to what? Their works. Okay? Dead lost are going to be judged according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell were delivered up. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Death, so again, we're out here. Death and hell deliver up to the great white throne them which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their, what's the next word? Works. Okay? So anybody at that great white throne is being judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So is this just unsaved people?
Unsaved people.
Okay.
A saved person today has already passed the judgment here. At the rapture of the church, the calling out of the body of Christ. If saved, go to be with the Lord forever.
Our judgment is tested by fire at that instant.
Absolutely.
When you pass and or are raptured.
Yeah, right there.
Your judgment is right then and there.
Yeah.
And wood, hay, and stubble burns. Your fine stones get refined.
No, it's before the 7-year tribulation.
No, we're right. Talking at rapture. Yeah.
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 Yeah, we're talking the same thing. He's talking the same thing there.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. And by the way, this lends itself, you know, we're talking works. All right, in the second, we're going to take a break in a little bit here. When we come back, we're going to talk about what about today and, you know, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Anybody ever hear that verse? Okay? Let's talk about that. But I want to keep that off until the other. I want to stay pretty much right to what's in Romans, take the break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the chastening of the Lord. Okay? So let's stay before we go any further with that. Let's come back to this now.
I have one question.
Yeah.
The sea, where it says that the sea would give up its dead, that is like the body because the soul would be in hell. Is that right?
The sea giving up, you know.
Read the sentence before that, leaving to us. Where is it?
It's in Revelations 20.
And 12. Okay, so, and the dead were judged out of, at the end of verse 12, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them.
So is that two separate places?
Yeah, death and hell and the sea.
So,
and they would judge every man according to their works.
Is it?
Our bodies are not resurrected.
Well, so why would they? Why would? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to have a good answer for you.
Well, it's kind of answering it. I thought in 12, God and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works under the law. So. And then as the sea gave up the dead. Aren't we talking about lost people?
We are definitely talking about lost people.
Okay, so the sea in this case can't be a ski resort. It has to be hell. Is that right?
No, because it's
hell. No, because... And I'm going to... So, I want to go a couple places with this. There are different degrees. I believe that there are different degrees of hell. All right, we're going to look at some passages about this. But again, as we read in Romans 2, the lost person that's never heard the gospel is judged according to what? Their conscience and their works. But their, you know, their works according to their conscience, according to the law written in their hearts. They have a basic human nature. Back in Romans 2, where was that? By nature. Mm-hmm. read it. 15, right?
Conscience?
Oh, 14. That's why, is the verse before. So Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature,
it's natural.
It's natural to them, the things contained in the law. Murder, okay? Something in the law. Thou shalt not commit murder. All right? The Gentiles may not have the law. They don't know that that's, they don't know the Ten Commandments. But they know in, by nature. They know naturally. Natural. It's natural for a man to understand you should not murder somebody. Okay? So the Gentiles, which do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Okay? So that's how they're being judged. So, out there at the great white throne, those that have never heard the gospel of Christ, so they could never have been saved, they could never have gone here to be with the Lord forever. So therefore, they end up out there, those in the deep dark tribes of Africa, or deep dark jungles of Africa, as people always want to run to today. Now let's go look at different degrees of hell, because out here I do believe there are different degrees. All right, I mean, the Bible's going to say some things here. So come to Matthew chapter 10. By the way, remember back here when John the Baptist first was, before Christ, you know, John the Baptist starts preaching and Christ just coming on the scene, who hath warned you from the wrath to come? Both John the Baptist and Christ. Who hath warned thee to flee from the wrath to come? Right? The wrath to come out here. Right, so they're already being warned. But anyway, in Matthew chapter 10, 10:14, and whosoever, so 10:14, and whosoever shall not receive you, now of course he's talking to the 12, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Stop reading. We all love, I mean, many of us, and there's many motivational speakers that will run with that one. Shake off the, you know, the dust of your feet if they won't hear what you're saying. You got some good news to impart to them. Watch the next verse, 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Okay, in the day of judgment, this is their judgment out here, the great white throne. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, pretty bad place, right? Pretty evil place, full of human evil. But even them, it shall be more tolerable, in verse 15, than for that city that what? That in this, in the literal context of this, that does not hear what the 12 come and teach them, which would be the gospel of the kingdom, that man, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he that endures to the end shall be saved, the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? As Christ preached throughout Matthew, starting in chapter 4 through chapter 24. Okay? He that endures to the end shall be saved. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He that shall endure to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Okay? So any city that turned that down, it's going to be worse in hell for that city than Sodom and Gomorrah. Now come on, you don't think Sodom and Gomorrah has its own special place in hell? Okay, yeah, it was torched already. That's how it ended. So
there's a special place for those that were burned in Sodom and Gomorrah.
It's just, I'm just saying, different degrees of hell. The old thing about Dante's Inferno and different degrees of suffering. Here's just one that would go with that.
I thought he wasn't talking about literal hell. That's interesting. That's Well, the word shall is used there, which, you know, basically says that.
Yeah. It shall be.
People today that aren't listening to what I'm preaching to you, when you
know, shall be, because the day of judgment is at least 1,007 years away. So shall be future tense. So even if this happened today, what we're talking about there in verse 15, the day of judgment, that'd be 1,007 years from today. And in that day, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, that day of judgment. Different degrees. All right, men are judged according to the secrets, Romans 2:16. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians. Just this whole thing about the wrath, okay? Again, Christ said back here in Matthew, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? All right, Paul, we're not appointed to wrath, right? 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. Okay? And await for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Okay, so we have a wrath here, the 7-year period of wrath, and then the judgment day out here. So just differentiating the wrath to come, 7-year period of great tribulation, we're saved from wrath. How many times Paul says that? Thank you. That would be 40 minutes right there. All right, and then the judgment day out here. Self-righteousness. So back to Romans 2. Let's just wrap this up here. So this whole passage is just, again, full of the self-righteousness. So in Romans, you're even going to see another path. Come to chapter 10. Thinking again about people trying to establish their own righteousness. So chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Stop reading. Okay? So he's still in Romans. He's wanting the Jews saved. They're his brethren, right? His kinsmen. He is a Jew. And they have a zeal for God. Think about today. Now make the application to today. How many people you know that have a zeal for God? Right? And they're out there today and they're trying to grab every neighbor they can to come to church with them. Because they have a zeal for God. Okay? Watch the next verse. Verse 3 of chapter 10. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness by going to church every Sunday and by not chewing, by not dipping, right? By not dancing. Whatever things that particular group believes is what they got to do to be righteous, as if they could. But verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness. These people, the human good people, the self-righteous crowd, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Okay? And I am going to take one more minute, or two more minutes here. 1 John chapter 3. There is a great story in the Bible. Well, there are several great stories in the Bible on this subject. But let's grab this one. 1 John chapter 3. Here we are in one of the last books in your Bible, talking about a story in one of the first few chapters of your Bible, in Genesis. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Stop right there. Sounds pretty good so far, right? And again, you get a lot of sermons preached off of that. Verse 12, Let's do that again. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Stop reading. Do not miss what we're going to come back and read. Cain murdered Abel, right? Did he break one of the Ten Commandments? No. Ten Commandments did not yet exist. That was one of those step questions. They didn't exist till Moses. You know, how could Abraham break any of the Ten Commandments? They didn't exist yet. Now, what he did that end up being one of the Ten Commandments that he did definitely break? Yes. Did he know it was wrong? Yes, he hid, right? When he hid from God, right? He mourned. We went back and read that passage. He knew it was wrong. He knew in his conscience that it was wrong. It ended up becoming one of the Ten Commandments. Okay, now watch why he slew his brother. Watch why he broke a law written in his heart called murder that he knew was wrong.